Court of Appeals in and for the 7th Judicial Circuit. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons having business before this honorable court are admonished to draw near and give their attention as the court is now sitting. God save the United States and this honorable court.
Good morning. First case of the morning will be Ivanov versus Gonzalez. Mr. Mwangi.
May it please the court. Good morning, honorable judges. My name is Godfrey Mwangi. I represent Mr. Ivanov, the petitioner. This case is an appeal from the Board of Immigration Appeals, which affirmed the immigration judge's decision denying Mr. Ivanov asylum, excuse me, and withholding of removal. Mr. Ivanov applied for asylum based on his membership in a particular social group as a Roma or gypsy from Bulgaria. He claimed that he had been persecuted because of his ethnicity by groups that targeted him and extorted money from him because of his ethnicity. The immigration judge found that he had not sufficiently established his membership in that group because there was no evidence of his being a Roma or that these groups would persecute him because of that membership in the ethnic group of Roma or gypsies in Bulgaria.
I realize he says that he had to change his name, but from the point of view of the immigration judge, how was the judge to know that he was a Rom, and wasn't the judge entitled to say you should get some sort of corroborating evidence here?
Your Honor, under the regulations and the rules governing asylum applications and the precedents of the BIA and this court, an applicant for asylum is permitted to file a claim and rely on his or her own testimony if it is credible. And credible testimony can suffice to support a claim for asylum, and if the testimony is credible, it may stand on its own without a need for corroboration.
Well, I understand that, but in the immigration judge's oral opinion here, he doesn't seem prepared to believe the assertion that this man is Rom.
The immigration judge articulated his basis for not believing him because the immigration judge gave examples during the hearing. He challenged him and said, I am a Mexican-American. It is, you know, possible to look at me and tell I'm a Mexican-American. And he gave an example of some African tribes that, you know, create scarring on the face, and you can distinguish those physical signs and tell that someone is from a particular tribe.
Well, I understand the immigration judge said those things, and I actually think those are ludicrous assertions. But the fact is, documents from Bulgaria, other kinds of what I would say more reliable corroborating evidence might have been available, even affidavits from people who knew him.
The petitioner, Mr. Ivanov, explained to the judge that when he was initially in school, when he was registered, his registration documents, as was required, carried the designation of his ethnicity as a Roma or a gypsy. He explained to the judge that these many years after I don't know that I can get those documents, and the judge does not explain why that explanation is not sufficient. Under Goncharova, which is this court's precedent, there are three steps the IJ is required to take before saying that this evidence by itself is not sufficient. If you're going to require corroboration, you need to first rule out the evidence as lacking credibility, but if it is not ruled out as lacking credibility and you still say, I want corroboration, you have to show why it's reasonable to expect corroboration. I don't believe the IJ sufficiently said why it was reasonable to expect corroboration, but assuming that he did, the IJ still does not say why Ivanov's explanation is not sufficient, because under the circumstances, he had fled Bulgaria to the United States in the early 90s. He'd come here and had stayed for 3 years. When his wife told him things had eased, had become better, in 1997, he went back. He was able to do his business. Business was booming. He bought a vehicle that he was using to transport his merchandise. These people who were opposed to him and his ethnic group came back and attacked him, wounded him, and then he fled again. Now, under those circumstances, his explanation, in our opinion, is reasonable. The IJ does not say it is not. The IJ does not give an explanation why, even under those circumstances, it is still reasonable to expect corroboration for Ivanov's ethnicity. But
and before you run out of time, I wonder if you could briefly address how we know that the people, we're not worried about that earlier stage, we're worried about after his return, but how do we know that the people who were attacking him were affiliated with the government, or somehow the government wasn't protecting him?
Well, he was in a city, in a market, which was a place that all vendors were permitted to offer their merchandise for sale. Now, it is not very clear whether the whether these were officials or whether they were officially sanctioned by the government. What his testimony is that once the communists were out of power, a lot of people were released who then were recruited as bodyguards and were in entourages of officials in the government who were then going around and ruling the day because they were armed and so on and so forth. And these were people who then preyed on ethnic minorities. Now, the government in its brief says, well, he was not the only one, or it was not just Romas from whom money was being extorted. Turks were also falling victim. Well, yeah, persecutors are going to pick on ethnic minorities. Just because Turks are also victims does not prove that Romas are not being persecuted. Now, to answer your question, these were people who were in the entourages of officials as bodyguards, as protectors, or in detail, security details, and they were known by anybody who was present in these cities because they wielded guns and those kinds of security devices as part of the details of these officials. And so were they government officials? I don't know that there's that evidence in this record, but he testified that these had been hired as bodyguards by some of the officials who were in power at that time.
Well, there's no other identification than just his saying this, is there? The reason is, are these gangs. Sure, they may be mercenary to some extent where they're protecting other people, but either at the acquiescence or even at the direction of these so-called officials, are they carrying out this extortion and obvious whatever they do, burn and destroy, I guess, steal? That's the connection that obviously you need in order to have state-sponsored or associated persecution.
Judge Mannion, I don't believe that Mr. Ivanov claimed that it was state-sponsored. I think his claim was that the government was unable to control them or was unwilling to control them, which the statute certainly permits.
So when he went to the police, they did nothing, and that acquiescence is, or refusal is the connection you're looking at?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Gannon?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Thomas Gannon from the Appellate Section of the Criminal Division, representing the Attorney General this morning.
Mr. Gannon, let me just start you right off. Did the IJ appear to demand physical corroboration of Ivanov's claim?
Not demand physical. I think he certainly discussed, you know, the absence of identifying physical characteristics that would make him recognizable as a gypsy in Bulgaria.
Now, but what would such encompass?
Well, I think, I mean, he used the examples, and Judge Wood found them absurd. But the fact is that obviously race would be a characteristic, you know, skin color.
Does he know nothing whatsoever about the Roma people? I mean, I'm telling you, you could line them up, you know, in Bulgaria, and I doubt any of us in this courtroom would be able to pick out one from the next. Any more than if you were on the West Bank, you could pick out which people were Israelis and which people were Palestinians.
Well, I think that is precisely the point he was making, that he was not recognizable as a Roma in
Bulgaria.
No, he
was saying he was criticizing him for not pointing to a physical difference. I mean, and that is as though there were one and it wasn't there. It was a silly point.
I think, whether it was silly or not, I think his determination rested on more than the absence of those characteristics.
Where can you point to something in his opinion? Because he only talks about those characteristics in his opinion.
No, and I don't think. I think if I might respectfully disagree, if you look in his opinion, he talks about the absence of those characteristics, but then he talks about the absence of any kind of documentation, something that you touched on when you were questioning Mr. Mwangi. I'm sorry, Your Honor. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
All right. No, but I'm just saying that his determination did not rest simply on the fact that Mr. Ivanov lacked identifying physical characteristics. It was that plus... the absence of any other kind of support for.
But why didn't he accept the idea that Roma people speak with a different accent?
I
can think of all sorts of people who'd be quite identifiable by the accent, including, frankly, Hispanics, who I don't think blend in quite as well as the immigration.
I think it would have been helpful to the immigration judge if there had been some kind of extrinsic evidence that dialect is identifying in Bulgaria of Roma people.
Well, is dialect accent?
Well, yeah, I think so.
No.
Yeah, I think that's what he's talking about.
No, I don't think so necessarily. People in the South speak the same dialect that people in the North do, but they have a distinctive accent. Vowels are pronounced differently.
Yeah. Well, I must say I'm not a specialist in languages to that degree, but I'm saying that if he had had even something from a State Department report that said that people could be identified that way, whether it's dialect or accent, that would have been helpful to his case. But nothing like that was proffered. Excuse me.
If we are talking about absence, then I think we should talk about the absence by the IJ of an explicit credibility finding, the absence of why it's reasonable to require corroboration, the absence of why the applicant's reasons for not producing the corroboration are inadequate. The IJ never explicitly did any of this. I mean, I think we have a real problem here.
Well, that's discouraging to find out at this stage of the argument, but I let me go on. I don't think the problem is as big as you may imagine it to be. In the first place, no, there was no specific adverse credibility finding, but it was up to the to Mr. Ivanov to make a persuasive case, and what the judge did say is, I am not persuaded. You have not provided, now he used words like credible and believable, but I think what he was really saying was, you have not persuaded me, one, that you're a Roma, and two, that you were persecuted because you were a Roma.
But
and
you
the
know,
fact
Mr. Gannon, the problem is, you know, the note I've written on the briefs is, you know, if the IJ's opinion had looked like your brief and had actually addressed the things that need to be addressed, we would be in a very different posture. And I know that you guys are constantly in the position of cleaning up after these IJ opinions, and I feel for you, but, you know, we need these findings.
Well, again, to go back to the beginning, you know, it's his burden. It's his burden to persuade first the asylum official or the immigration judge or the Board of Immigration Appeals that he's got a case.
But you have a reasonable human being sitting on a bench to persuade. And anyone who looks at someone says, you don't even look Bulgarian, let alone like a Rom, is not a reasonable human being.
Well,
anyone that points to himself and says, you know, it would be as if I would point to myself and say, now anyone can tell I'm a Latvian. It's madness.
Well, whether that's the case or not, I still think that Mr. Ivanov had the burden, and he could have helped himself by coming forward with documents. If I might address that point, you know, if you look at his statement, which appears on page 185 of the administrative record, the statement he submitted in support of his application to asylum, he said that in 1994, when he obtained his visa to come to the United States to be a spectator at the World Cup, he produced documents, I assume, to an American consular official showing that he was a soccer player. And that helped him to get this visa to come to the United States. Now, if he can, in 1994, obtain a document or have a document that shows him to be a soccer player and therefore justifies his interest in the World Cup, he ought to be able to provide a document that shows his ethnicity. I can understand maybe that he didn't come to the United States with them, but he's been in contact for several years with his wife over the telephone. You know, he says, and if you look, where is it? Yeah, on page 77, 78 of the administrative record, his testimony was that people take their papers with them when they move to a new location, and that's when they register again with local officials. He said there's a comprehensive system of record keeping which identifies people by ethnicity. The thing about the change of his name, which you adverted to. Now, he was 24 when he was forced by law to change his name from Alicho to Ivanov.
Which now, certainly suggests discrimination, doesn't it?
Well, I think I concede that in our brief, mm-hmm. that there is discrimination against gypsies in Bulgaria. The question is, does it, in his case, rise to the level of persecution? We submit that it does not. If you look at his testimony, and if I might go to the merits of the persecution, you know, what the immigration judge relied on, and it seems to me, how, you know, we may disagree about this, that it was reasonable for the IJ to rely on this. His testimony was, the operative word, this is on page 100 of the administrative record, that the people the gangsters extorted and confronted in the marketplace were, quote unquote, basically Turks and gypsies. Basically, not only, not exclusively.
But,
in
but
other
you
words,
know, I'm sure, Mr. Gannon, I mean, he is saying that the Turks and the gypsies or the Rom were singled out. And it would be like saying that the Nazis didn't discriminate against Jews because they were also discriminated against homosexuals. I mean, we happen to know that they were actually doing all of the above.
I think the point to keep in mind is the IJ, you know, focused on this, is that he was a businessman with the potential for having money to pay these people off. This was a routine garden variety shakedown in this market by these thugs.
Is there any evidence that Bulgarian nationals were suffering this treatment? He says it's the gypsies and the Turks.
He says, and I refer you again to his testimony on page 100, basically gypsies and Turks. But basically, again, is not exclusively or only.
Aren't you being a little, I mean, it's like teenagers talking who say like this, like that. I mean, they basically is not a word I'd place quite that much weight on.
Well, I think the judge, as trier of fact, the immigration judge's trier of fact, is entitled to draw inferences. And he looked at the totality of the circumstances as presented in Mr. Ivanov's testimony and determined that business was the factor. If he had not been a businessman, none of this would have happened.
But he also says it's merely the fact that the Turks were also targeted, which shows that it wasn't because he was a gypsy.
I think if you look
he
at
says
the...
He says he identified some individuals as Turks.
I think if you read further, it goes beyond Turks.
And indicated that these men who confronted him also targeted other individuals, some of whom were not Roma, but in the context of them being Turks. I mean, that's what the... I'm just looking at the immigration judge's opinion.
Well, as I say, I think if you look at his testimony, it's basically... The word is basically. That's the operative word. And... I see my time has expired. Do you have any more questions?
That's one question. That is,
sure.
There doesn't seem to be much of an issue made here about the connection that these thugs had with the government, either through the police acquiescence or protecting influential people or something. Is this pretty much beside the point now?
I wouldn't say it's beside the point. And the reason is, if you, again, in the immigration judges, it's not an explicit adverse credibility determination, but it is a kind of judgment about credibility. And when he talks about, he comments on the vagueness of Mr. Ivanov's testimony when he's talking about the quote-unquote influential people. And he says that he, in the IJ's opinion, that was an attempt to embellish his testimony. He uses the word embellish specifically. And it seems to me that's another finding, determination by the immigration judge that this court is really is compelled to respect. Remember, the standard of review here is that the adverse evidence that is adverse to the IJ's ruling has to compel a different result. And if you look at the entirety of this record, I submit that the evidence, the substantial evidence in the record supporting the IJ's, whatever mistakes he made, that it supports his finding that he was not entitled to asylum.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much.
The case will be taken under advisement.